Would you please pray with me? Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant us that we may in such a way hear them and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What comes to mind when you hear the word blessed or blessed? Last Sunday, we began a new series taking a look at what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. At first glance, these teachings seem to be strange and counterintuitive. These are sayings that at first don't seem to make sense. We wouldn't normally think of ourselves as blessed when we encounter mourning or grief. We usually consider ourselves blessed when we receive good gifts or experience favorable outcomes. We all like to receive good gifts, don't we? We rejoice when good things happen to us. We all want to consider ourselves blessed. A while back, I came across an article in the New York Times called "They Feel Blessed," with blessed in quotation marks. In this article, the author, Jessica Bennett, recounts scrolling through her Facebook page and the many ways she observed people utilizing this word, blessed. Some of you might be on Facebook or social media and have encountered similar postings. In her article, she writes, "Here are a few of the ways that God has touched social media network over the past few months. God helped a friend get accepted into graduate school. She was blessed to be there. God made it possible for a yoga instructor's Caribbean spa retreat. I'm blessed to be teaching in paradise," she wrote. "God graced a colleague with at least 57 Facebook wall postings about her birthday. So blessed for all the love," she wrote to approximately 900 of her closest friends. The author of this article goes on, "God has in fact recently blessed my social media network with dazzling job promotions, coveted speaking gigs, and the most wonderful fiancés ever. These blessings aren't limited to the little people either. God blessed a music group with a highly sought-after wardrobe designer, and he blessed a female celebrity with an engagement ring. Blessed, blessed, blessed," she wrote on Twitter. "He's been known to bless other famous people with exotic getaways and expensive bottles of champagne." There's nothing quite like invoking holiness as a way to brag about your life. But calling something blessed has become the go-to term for those who want to boast about an accomplishment while pretending to be humble, fish for a compliment, acknowledge a success without sounding too conceited, or purposely elicit envy. Blessed is used now where we would have said in the past that you were lucky. These are sort of humble brag without the humble part. Of course, blessed has long been used in religious settings. It means to be made holy. It can also serve as a kind of casual well-wishing. This author mentions that she grew up in a Baptist household where everybody went to church, and she often heard, "Have a blessed day." But she warns that the overuse of the word has all but stripped it of its meaning. Last week, Pastor Bob began this series for us, speaking about what we know as the Beatitudes. And he mentioned that the origin of this word blessed means to be happy, but not happy in the kind of shallow way we think about it. This happy isn't a response to our circumstance. That weak meaning of happy is what the Facebook posters mean in the examples in the article that I read. This is not what it means to be blessed. To define blessed is to mean consecrated, sacred, and made holy. It has nothing to do with what I have or the privileges I've obtained. It is relational. To be blessed is to have something done by someone else, and the person to declare something or someone blessed must themselves be holy. To be truly blessed can only happen in the context of divine relationship. If you are in relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are blessed. This is a deeply intimate state of being. If Jesus has purchased you with his blood, it is a relationship you can't get yourself out of. Not that you would want to. So here in our text, what does it mean that those who mourn are blessed? First, we need to notice that to be blessed is to be marked by humility. Last week, we saw that those who are poor in spirit are blessed. This is a posture of humility. Those who are poor in spirit acknowledge, I have nothing to offer to God, and because of that, I need Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are poor in spirit are like the children Jesus mentions in Matthew 19, verse 14, when he says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. It's the same promise. To be blessed begins with a childlike humility. Likewise, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. As adults, we often try to hide our grief or mourning. And I don't want to pick on the men too much in the room, but we often see this more with men than with women, this mentality that it's not manly or masculine to show your mourning or your grief. That's a cultural belief that has taken up in our society, and it's just not true. Jesus wept openly and bitterly at the death of his friend Lazarus. For many of us, we think we need to get over our grief in a certain length of time. It's not okay for us to be in mourning. But what if Jesus is inviting us here to be like little children? Many of us in this room have children and grandchildren. Kids, boys and girls, aren't afraid to cry until someone teaches them that it's unacceptable for them to cry. It comes naturally to them to cry. To openly mourn requires childlike humility and vulnerability. Second, we need to notice that these Beatitudes, although we are preaching through them one by one, are not intended to be taken individually, as though you can pick and choose, or as if you can have some but not the rest. Have you ever bought or received that box of chocolate with the mysterious inner filling? Some of the boxes have a little map that tell you what's inside each one so you can pick your favorites. But some of them don't. You just have to guess. This being blessed is not like the box of chocolate, where according to Forrest Gump, you never know what you're going to get. If you've seen that movie. It's a throwback. These blessings all belong to you, if you belong to Christ. There's no mystery as to whether you will receive them, and there's no mystery as to what you will receive. Only promises. Another way of interpreting these passages could be to say, because you are blessed, when you mourn, you will be comforted. There's an assumption in these verses that you are blessed when you become a follower of Jesus. There's an assumption that you will be poor in spirit and you will receive the kingdom of heaven. There's an assumption that you will mourn and you will be comforted. Not if you mourn, you might be comforted. And next week, we'll see that there's an assumption that you will be meek and will inherit the earth. Jesus is teaching us that these things are already true about us, while at the same time, they are things we will continue to grow in. Third, we will notice that there is a connection with each of these blessings. When I acknowledge that I am poor in spirit and recognize that I need Jesus, I will mourn over my sin. Jesus promises in that grief that I will be comforted. This is not a worldly sorrow. It is a sorrow that leads to abundant life. This is why I read Romans chapter 7. Paul is mourning his own sin when he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. That I keep on doing. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Have you ever felt that way? Why can't I stop raising my voice when I'm frustrated? Why can't I stop talking about people behind their back? Why can't I stop overspending, overdrinking, overindulging? Lord, I really want to do better. I really want to live for you. Hear what Paul says next. Remember, he's just asked, who will rescue me from this body of death? Listen. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thanks be to God, he has delivered me. Is there any greater comfort than that? This is your comfort. This is my comfort. My fourth point is this. We need to recognize that to grieve and to mourn is a kind of holy experience. What do I mean by that? When we as Christians mourn over loss, when we grieve over circumstances, when we mourn over our own sin and the sin of others, we are acknowledging that nothing in this world is as it should be. We don't have to pretend. Jesus sets us free from pretending. We were not meant to live in a world where death reigns, and all forms of loss are a type of death. We have physical death, of course. We experience death of relationships, in marriages, with children, in friendships. We experience death of hopes and dreams when we lose jobs, when the stock market crashes. Every way we experience suffering is a reminder that death is always lurking. We experience losses continually, and it is right for us to grieve this. This kind of mourning is an appropriate response to living in a broken world. This kind of grief is called lament. Lament is such an appropriate response to mourning that the Bible contains a whole book named after it in the Old Testament, Lamentations. Our mourning, our grief, our lamenting is not the kind of mourning the world experiences, which is self-focused. Woe is me. That's what the world says. The world's grief is without hope, but we are promised comfort. Two Sundays ago was Pentecost Sunday, which is the day we celebrate when, after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the Holy Spirit came down and filled his people. The Holy Spirit, Jesus tells us, is our comforter. He's our advocate. The Holy Spirit is dwelling right now inside of you and me. The Holy Spirit comforts us internally and provides a deep peace and confidence. The Holy Spirit also enables us to comfort one another. When you mourn, you not only have the third person of the Trinity actively present within you, you have an entire community of people, look around you, who also have the Holy Spirit within them to assist in your comfort. This is why we need each other. This is one reason it's so important that we not give up meeting together. As best and as often as we are able, we need to be physically present with other believers, because you won't find that kind of comfort in the world. We too frequently look for comfort in all the wrong places. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." We are meant to embody the comfort the Spirit gives us. How are you doing? What might the Spirit be saying to you in this moment? We're all in this boat called life together. Life is hard in different ways for everyone in this room and watching online. We are all sinners who offend God, and we offend each other. And it's right that we mourn this. And yet, we have the deepest comfort available to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus went to He told his disciples he would not leave them as orphans, but would send the Comforter to live with them and in them. Wait a minute. Orphans.
there's that childlike imagery again, which seems strange that Jesus would use that language to a group of grown men. We don't usually think of adults as being orphaned. Orphans are needy. They need someone to look after them. They need someone to feed them. They need someone to clothe them. They need someone to comfort them. Yes, orphans. We have not been left as orphans. You have been blessed and have been set free to mourn with childlike humility. You are called to be childlike in your humility, but you are not an orphan. Jesus sent his Spirit to wrap his perfect arms of comfort around you for the purpose of assuring you that despite your sin and your circumstances, you belong to him. Finally, God fulfills this promise in Revelation 21, verse 4, when he says that the day is coming when he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things will pass away. He is making all things new. In the words of Paul again, thanks be to God who has delivered us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Would you pray with me? Almighty God and most merciful Father, we humbly submit ourselves and fall down before your majesty, asking you from the bottom of our hearts that this seed of your word now sown among us may take deep root. You constantly remind us in your word that there is nothing permanent in this world, but that the things which seem the firmest tend to ruin and vanish away. But by your Spirit, you strengthen and comfort us. Grant that we may not rely on earthly things, but humbly raise our hearts and our thoughts to heaven, and there fix the anchor of our hope. And may all our thoughts abide there until we shall be gathered into that celestial kingdom, which has been obtained for us by the blood of your only begotten Son. Amen.